Hi, I'm Amy.
Hey, Amy.
And how I attracted people. So the very first thing, obviously, was there was a core group of people in the South Bay that had been to other meetings. So talking to them, getting their input, trying to pick a time that was convenient to all of us was an important part of getting the seed of that meeting started and getting the word out. Getting the meeting listed on the COSA website, because we get lots of people who come to us through the website that, you know, Google sex addiction and COSA comes up. Where are the meetings? We're on there. So getting that and getting the information on there accurately. As Carrie said, connecting with intergroup. And if you know me, you know, I go to the other meetings, I go to the retreats, I go to the conventions, and if you talk to me for 15 seconds, I will tell you that I love Santa Clara COSA and you're welcome to come to our meeting. So I'm sure that some of you in this room have experienced the Amy loves Santa Clara COSA. Do you want to come to our meeting? And those of you who have been in recovery a while will also get the, do you want to come speak at our meeting? So I think you all have, many of you have experienced, come visit us in Santa Clara, come speak at our meeting. We make a big point, I think, I hope, of talking to newcomers, that the newcomers don't get to walk out of the room without somebody talking to them. And we try to make them feel welcome. We have snacks, so come to Santa Clara COSA, we always have snacks. So to talk to the newcomers, to give out, I give out my phone number. I try to remember to, I don't always remember to, there was a newcomer 2 weeks ago and I didn't remember to give out my phone number. And I was so glad she came back, so that I could. And I think the final thing I was thinking of was just to, work the 12 steps ourselves, be, sober, and emphasize in our script sponsorship, and we have a lot of Santa Clara COSAs that are working the steps and doing the step work, and I think that helps too in carrying the message. And I will say another plug for these little cards, I carry them in my purse everywhere. I have them upstairs right now, and I will hand them out to I will hand them out to anybody who I think is interested or needs one. So I've handed out plenty of those cards, and I'm going to stock up again today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
I won't repeat what Amy said, but I did the intergroup website reach out thing, and also intergroup helped fund my meeting at the our meeting at the beginning, helping us buy literature. So our local intergroup has money set aside for that. I think, I'm not sure how we got our core group of people. I mean, I definitely announced it in other meetings. We had newcomers come and stay. I think Carrie showed up at the second meeting and volunteered to be the treasurer, and I was like, great. So, you know, it started really small. And like I said earlier, we just kept adapting our script so that, because it was kind of an odd format in that we didn't have a main speaker. We just had 11 step meditation where you make conscious contact with your higher power. And so we changed it so that if we had newcomers present, someone would share the ways in which COSA had helped them for 4 minutes. So that would be our first share. So that was helpful. We also, if a newcomer is present, we read something written by a local COSA called Do I Stay or Do I Go, which kind of addresses a question that many COSAs first have when they come to meetings, should I stay or go in my relationship? And the answer is, it's up to you and your higher power. But it's much nicer than that. We at the end of our meeting, we ask if people are willing to talk about the process of getting a sponsor, and people raise their hands. I think that is really helpful, just to have people identified. Not that they're volunteering to become anyone's sponsor who asks, but just that they can talk about it, and it's not, and demystify the process.
Can you speak a little bit about your meeting moved?
Our meeting moved, and I had nothing to do with it, which was really awesome. We were in the same space for about a year or so, and there was a change in leadership around the meeting space, and so our rent went up, and then things kept getting juggled around, where sometimes we'd get bumped from our space, and it turns out that newcomers stepped up and led the charge to find the new meeting space, and we're actually in a really beautiful church now in this kind of anti-coffee room, and I think we all really like it. But yeah, it was a group process, and it was all done in the decision making was all done by group conscience in business meetings and by email when we were under a time crunch.
Thanks, Emily.
Stephanie. Hi. How we attracted meetings, in addition to what's already been shared, is of course announcements, and the big key was for me, in order to help share that there was a meeting in addition in the locale, was to attend all that the main meeting, and basically be a high touch presence to say there is a new meeting started on Friday night, there is a new meeting that's starting on Thursday at noon. And I just let that go, and then I'd be at the meeting as if I were at a regular meeting. Then lo and behold, later people will ask me, what day of the week is that meeting? Because I need another meeting. And it just sort of grew from there. What really helped was in the treatment center place that offered the space to us, they were more than happy to display on their material table the flyers that we had actually distributed among the local COSAs. And by that time, there was two or three meetings that had developed in the outer areas of Orange County, one in Inland Empire. So, and then the inner group eventually got started in the middle part of this year. So we had now this new network that we could not only announce it by email, we announced it by high touch, by visits with flyers, and now we had the particular meeting space. The treatment center said, whatever materials you have, we will put it down here. In regards to the retreat that we had last weekend, same thing. Let's see. Just the logistics was setting up a COSA email for your meeting. Because when you have the flyer and you announce it, you want people to zero in on how to get there. So that was, we needed somebody to be in charge of, or at least volunteer to answer the inquiries via email if they had any questions. Okay, I think that's all I have for that question.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
So our final question is, we'll each share on any lessons learned, and it could be either things that worked particularly well that we've learned through our experience, or things that were maybe a misstep or didn't work as we had planned or hoped. So I'll start. I'm Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Yay.
Hi, Carrie.
So there are a couple things that have been lessons learned for me. And one of them is to encourage people to go attend a telemeeting. If you're afraid of secretarying a meeting, because that's usually one of the first barriers to starting a meeting, is the person doesn't want to have to be the leader of the meeting. And of course, there is no leader of the meeting. It's a we program. But the reality is, if you're starting a meeting, you probably will be reading some sort of script. And even though there are scripts available that, you know, you can steal and use in the meeting guide and from other meetings, People still have that initial, I don't know if I feel confident enough to do that. One of the things that seems to have worked really well with people who have come and asked for my experience, strength, and hope is I send them to the telemeetings and say, just listen. If they don't have a face-to-face meeting where they are, is what I'm saying. Just go listen to a telemeeting, because half the problem is you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And people have given me feedback that that's a wonderful way to start to reduce the anxiety about what it's like to actually lead a meeting. And in particular, if you volunteer to be a secretary once or twice or whatever, you get firsthand experience being able to lead a meeting without any risk, really. The other thing is, the other common thing that I hear people asking for help with is, what if we don't have anybody who has recovery in our meeting? How do we do this without recovery? You've heard, you know, a couple examples. If you don't have recovery in the room, invite the recovery into the room. You may be able to do that by having people drive to where you are if they're not too far. And, you know, invite them out to dinner or whatever. That's always really nice. And the cookies are good, too, especially when they make them gluten-free. But the other thing that you can do is to Skype your experience, strength, and hope into your meeting. So there are meetings who have actually put their computer in the middle of their table and invite someone who has experience, strength, and hope with the steps to speak on a step or to speak, share their first step or whatever you want to have brought into the room. It works really well. You can do it by teleconference. You can put your phone in the middle and ask somebody to just be your guest speaker. And that's probably the best way, if you don't have the experience in the room, to invite it in. There was something else I was gonna... Well, I already said, the main thing is, I've never started a COSA meeting by myself, and I'm glad that I haven't. So finding someone who will partner with you, I think, is probably the best piece of experience, strength, and hope that I've gotten mostly from hearing other people who have started them by themselves. And it's painful. It can be painful. It can work, so I'm not saying it can't work, but it can be painful.
Okay. Hi, I'm Amy.
Hey, Amy.
And what worked, like the very first thing that came to mind actually honestly was cookies. it's no joke. So there was a time, this is how I learned this lesson. For a couple of weeks, you know, I baked some cookies and I brought them into the meeting, and I was realizing, like, I felt like, wow, the group is really gelled. Like, everybody's hanging out after and laughing. We're like having such a good time. This group has really come together. Santa Clara Coast is just so awesome. And then for a couple weeks, I didn't make cookies. And then people just, like, left after, and everybody was kind of down. And I thought, wait a minute, it was the cookies. And so I started to bring snacks every week. And now I don't always bring them, but I often bring them. Sometimes other people bring stuff. And it's a thing in our meeting. And people stay after, and they talk, and we all bond, and a lot of us are here this weekend, and, you know, maybe some of the Santa Clara Coasters that are in this room are going to be like, God, no, it's not the cookies, you know, but I personally think, you know, it doesn't hurt to bring snacks. And the other things that I think worked, like I said, have been emphasizing sponsorship and working the steps, having people that are doing that in the meeting. We put the sponsorship in the script, and people who are available to sponsor raise their hands, and we are fortunate that we have had so far people available to. And faith, that helps. Commitment to the meeting, committing to stay there, because some of the other meetings in our area have failed because it needs a little seed to start with, and somebody has to make that commitment. So the commitment initially helped. Eventually the meeting has got to be pushed out of the nest, and you got to, like Emily said, put the secretary bag in the middle of the floor and say, I'm not going to do it, and somebody's got to pick that thing up. So, and letting go of the outcome, especially around newcomers coming into the room. They don't all stay. Few of them stay. Some of them end up going to other meetings, which you find out later,
or some of them some of them may not go for many years and come back when they feel like they're ready. And when I was talking to Carrie about this earlier, there's like this line in the it's like that but the commitment and using our willpower appropriately in starting the meeting, there's like a part of the big book that's like, you can use your willpower along these lines. This is the proper use of willpower or something, but that kind of willpower in the meeting. What didn't work for me was anxiety about the meeting and trying to control things and freaking out about where are we gonna have our meeting space, because there have been times where our location has said we might not be having meeting space, and me freaking out about it has not helped us have a meeting space. And then the final thing, I'm just wrapping up, I heard the timer. The other thing that didn't work was for me to take it personally when people didn't come back. Like, I didn't do a good enough job with the meeting, or our meeting isn't good enough, and so people don't love us and they didn't come back. So that doesn't work either. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
I was just thinking when I mentioned earlier about our rent going up at our previous space, we had some concern about how it went up from like $25 a month to like $75 a month, and we were like, what are we gonna do? Bringing it to the group, it was amazing what we could come up with in a group that I just had never occurred to me alone. Or yeah, just people suggested negotiating, which we did, and the person negotiated back, and that was good. We put the amount of rent in our script every week, like how much we were paying for rent every week, so that people knew how much it costs for us to be there, and so they could look around, see how many people, oh, there's 8 people, it's $25, okay, what's my share, you know, $4 or $3, I don't know, $3, so, all right, not good on the math. So that was really helpful. That was surprising to me. And we've had some other, one time we had a woman come in with her very small baby. That was challenging for the group. We did take a group conscience on whether we should allow a baby into the meeting. And then there was a very, I thought, healthy discussion afterwards about whether we needed to make rules about that. We ended up deciding that we didn't, and that we could do it, you know, decide if it came up again, which it didn't, to my knowledge. I would just say, you know, if you have 2 people or more, you have a group, mm-hmm. and you have group conscience, and it's amazing what can come out of that when you allow the conversation to happen and relying on the steps and traditions as your guide. So I think that is part of the way that our group has mm-hmm. stayed together and grown. So that's what I have.
Thanks.
I'm Stephanie again.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Share lessons learned. Logistics. This is just a logistics thing because I'm sort of OCD about this kind of stuff. Being prepared just awesomely helps, because signs on the door, signs in the parking lot, down a hallway, having the meeting materials, you know, ready to go, and just in case you're not there, then it's already available for a substitute. Just as simple as having the 7th tradition basket ready and available. It brings the presence of what we all know and the experience of a sober meeting there, in addition to, you know, higher power and us bringing ourselves there. I think it's the balance of all of those that help make a successful meeting. What also works is you know, encouraging newcomers and myself included as an un-newcomer, just continue the work in the steps every day, sort of like how we've been doing it in this retreat and the workshops that we've had. Just reminding myself that it's a we program. I can work the steps myself individually, and it just sort of blossoms into something greater when we share our experience, strength, and hope with others that show up to the meetings, newcomers and regulars alike. And I'm just going to reiterate the idea of inviting recovery to your meetings, inviting your sponsor, inviting someone that you've known that has had, you know, some sobriety and some experience in doing the steps. Is, hey, I'm starting a new meeting on Friday, or we are starting a new meeting. Would you be willing and able to lend some support by just coming? And people have popped up that way, unannounced, and just happened to do that. It's really, really refreshing to have that. And the one thing in regards to these two meetings that have started in Orange County is we sort of sponsored one-day retreats, sort of like what you all have done here for the weekend. Do it in a little more compact, smaller fashion, and it just seems to encourage and support and eliminate the isolation in which, of course, what meetings are designed to do is to eliminate the isolation and know that we're all in this together. And what hasn't worked is I wanted to jump in on the anxiety. I guess when I think that I have to do it all by myself, I remember that I'm, you know, that it's not my will be done, it's God, that I just have to ask someone else or let someone else know. And God does for me what I couldn't do for myself, and then higher power shows up, and then we're carrying the message again one more time. So thank you.
Thank you. So this is Carrie again. I just want to add a couple of things. I do get some bennies from being the moderator.
Sure, we'll let
you. Yeah. You heard it alluded to, but I just want to underline it. Having fellowship either before or after your meeting is a wonderful retention tool. So just want to highlight that. If you're traveling, go to a meeting where you're traveling. Whenever I travel someplace, I make a point of checking to see if there's a meeting. And my best favorite example was going to South Africa, and there was one meeting in all of Africa, the whole continent. And it was in Cape Town, and that's where I was going. And I made advance arrangements with the meeting to make sure that I could go to their meeting while I was there. And it's amazing how just that high touch that Stephanie's talking about, when someone shows up at your meeting who has some recovery, or does, I mean, everybody has recovery if you've been to one meeting, is basically my feeling. But that is a way that we can help each other, basically. The playing around with the format of a meeting is something that I've seen different meetings do in order to encourage retention. So if you have a meeting that seems to have no problem attracting people to it, but it's the retention of it, some of it is natural. It's people come and they're not ready to begin the work. So it's not that they don't get it, they're just not ready. But there are some things that you can play with in that, you know, and that is something like what kind of format of a meeting. In my personal experience, the meetings I'm most interested in going to are ones that are focusing on the steps and the traditions, because that's the core of how I have found serenity in my life. So I tend to, you know, focus on not only going to those kinds of meetings, but also, you know, when I've started a meeting, that's the focus that I would start it with, because it's an we did a survey a number of years ago about retention in COSA meetings, and that was the number one response that people made, that they felt from their meetings helped retention of COSAs coming back, was if they had a meeting format where the steps and the traditions were being talked about in the meeting. Just passing that on. And then the last thing that also was alluded to is having a business meeting. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with people who are struggling with their meeting and they have no business meeting. So there's no place to have the group conscience that you're hearing people talk about, which brings you that support and that sense of, I'm not alone making decisions for this group. when you have a meeting, a business meeting, it doesn't have to be long. Whether you build it into the meeting hour that you have or you do it afterwards doesn't matter. The important thing is the way that we bring higher power into a meeting is through group conscience. And if you don't have that, you'll struggle. It'll be hard. You're creating a hardship. So we're now going to move into the question portion, and I'm going to, or actually, is there someone who would be willing on behalf of us to run the mic to people who have questions so I can stay up here?
I can do.
Tammy? Okay. Before you go, the first question I already was asked, so I'm going to go ahead and start us with the first question. And the first question that I already got from somebody is, what do you do when nobody wants to be of service in your meeting? That is an issue of how to grow a COSA meeting, is if you don't have people being of service. So is there anyone on the panel who would like to field that one first?
Go ahead. Hi, I'm Emily. I've seen a couple of different things. One is, and not the meeting I started, but another meeting, we were having trouble with filling service positions. So we carved out a few minutes each meeting for someone to talk about service, why they do it, or how it helps them. So that happens every week in one of those meetings. And that's pretty cool. Also, I had another thought, but I can't think of it now.
I can. I'll say, hi, this is Amy. Sometimes it's a matter of some tough love and some boundaries. I know that I've been in the position that I gave the example already of being secretary and saying I was going to come and put the bag in the middle of the room, and that's no joke, you know. Anybody can be the secretary. Anybody can pick it up and do it, and it's possible to come in and just rotate through even every meeting for certain service positions, to just have somebody come in and say, you know, I did it last week. Who wants to do it this week? It needs to be done, and you know, here's the literature bag or here's the secretary bag, and ask people to step up in the moment, because sometimes it's intimidating to say, oh man, you know, I've got to commit to this meeting for 3 months or 6 months or, you know, a year or something to be this service position. And it might be a little less intimidating to say, I'm going to do it for today. So
I remember what I was going to say. when you ask for volunteers, if you're the one asking, letting there be silence,
mm-hmm.
To give people a moment to think about it. And peer pressure. Silence is peer pressure somehow. And then my third thing is to actually have people speak in the meeting about just how easy it was to do the service position, because I think it kind of seems hard, or it seems like something somebody else does or something like that. So just saying exactly what it is that you're being asked to do instead of just saying literature person. So those are my things.